This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Kind of interesting. I didn't think anybody wanted Ben Simmons. But apparently he is nearing – this guy's another guy that's just collecting checks. He is nearing a buyout, Mike, and eyes the Cavaliers or the Clippers to potentially join them. We're talking about Ben Simmons. You guys know the deal with Ben Simmons.
He's nuts.
He is 6'10". He's only averaging 6 points a game, five boards. But remember – this was supposed to be the guy that was going to take Philly, you know, in the rebuild, the whole rebuild, him and Embiid and all that. And then we actually, Hawks fans can be proud of this, we destroyed that.
Yes.
We destroyed that whole.
We killed the process.
Yes.
And that soft as Charbonne, mentally weak, I'll say it.
He is.
Individual, couldn't flush it. He dished it. And that basically, the die was cast for him up there in Philadelphia. It just, he is such a colossal head case. But I tell you what, if you get to a team like Cleveland, where all you need him to be is that defensive shutdown,
because
no one ever debates his defense. As Lon Kruger used to say, he has a hard time putting the ball in the basket.
Yes,
So if you're not looking for that, then you got your man.
We'll let you hear coming up. Jimmy Butler also addressing the media. We're talking about all this basketball stuff because the Hawks making the trade yesterday. The Hawks put out a video of these guys making their way into the building and being welcomed by Jalen Johnson, who's got that sling on, Mike. I'm like, dang it!
I know.
He's got the sling on, and Kobe Bufkin and all these guys are welcoming the new players. That's cool. We'll see them down at State Farm tonight. They'll be right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But more on that, because as we've been discussing today, the real question is, what now? Forget about the deals and what we did and didn't get. What now?
Where do we go from
That's
here?
That's right. What are we going to do?
That all of our players have been traded.
And maybe Steve Koonin has some insight into what now.
Again, don't kill the messenger. We'll talk to Steve at 4:40. Landry Fields, as you mentioned, is going to address the media on a Friday after work. Shocking. At 5:15. I will see what the plan is. We were just doing the math. Can you break that to over-under of 35, get to 36 wins? As you guys, we well know as Hawks fans, Carl, 7th, 8th place team, 9th, 10th place, loser of the 7-8. You know, how it works. And we sometimes Trey gets hot. Remember that year we beat Charlotte? And we went up to, it was Cleveland, beat them.
We sure did.
And next thing you know, then we got
Miami.
Beat by the Heat.
Yeah.
But we've shown the ability to at least get there. But, gosh, I thought we're finally going to get out of this rut this season.
I did, too. And it felt that way. And this is how quickly a season can turn when you take on major injuries. Hey, man, we're live at Twin Peaks. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. Coming up in the 5 o'clock, guys, and later this hour, actually, we'll give you our official picks. More on the Super Bowl as we get ready for Super Bowl Sunday. And we'll tell you who and why we're picking the teams we are, because we've been talking about it all week. It's time to get down to the nitty-gritty. But right now, let's talk some dogs. Well, Mike, the Southeastern Conference distributed an average of almost $52.6 million to all of the 14 full-year members of the 23-24 season.
52 per?
52 per.
Nice work.
Yeah, no doubt. So
ACC, by the way, paid in Groupon.
because that's their deal. That's their TV deal. Yes. Georgia get that check. Florida, Auburn, Alabama. Here's the deal, though. The Big Ten, for what it's worth, guys, and, you know, we always talk about Big Ten, SEC, they still have a better TV deal as we currently speak. But the fact that you're handing out, okay, which included the new members, Oklahoma and Texas, and this number's only going to go up. They joined the league in July. The SEC expanded to 16 schools. The Sooners and Longhorns each received $27.5 million in what the league described as a transitional payment. So they just jumped in.
You don't get the full share.
Correct. Right. You guys, next year we'll have a conversation.
Yeah. UCF kind of got the same short shrift with the Big 12.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, and look, Sooners and Longhorns, they got out of that deal and they came early, and they're not debating that. You know, they're not regretting that at all. But the fact is, these numbers are only going to go up. And we've been saying this. How does this affect this NIL, Mike, and all the stuff that's going on?
Right.
Because you're telling me each institution got $50 million. Well, I'm telling you, in 5 years, that's going to be $85, $90
million. Right. And then meanwhile, if you're Clemson or Florida State or Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech, now, granted, there were some extenuating circumstances that they had the highest average TV ratings because they played Georgia Thanksgiving Black Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And they also played the only game of the weekend that you wanted to watch against Florida State in Dublin. But that aside, Tech could say they were still, per average, the highest watched ACC team last season, or even over Clemson. But anyway, Clemson and Florida State, just real quick, did you talk about the TV money and the NIL? The ACC, man, you want to talk about being at the kids' table. My God, compared to what you just laid out for the SEC and ESPN, because it's a cheap contract, is picking up the option. Apparently that lawsuit, all that nonsense, it looks like it's eventually going to go away.
Okay.
And that the ACC is going to sort of give the bigger dogs more pieces of the pie. They're just trying to figure out the details so they don't alienate the other school members.
Yeah.
That was the latest. We didn't talk about this last week because everybody's getting ready for the Super Bowl.
Sure, sure.
But it looks like that thing that Florida State was trying to run up the flagpole ain't going nowhere, but they'll try to make them whole with maybe a little bigger piece of the pie.
So just to give you an example, this is 2023-24. The Big Ten reported total revenues of $845 million.
Oof.
Which was an average payout of about $58 to $59 million for full members for the 21-22 season. But again, these returns are a little bit old, right? So now you look at 22-23, they paid out $60 million per school.
Giddy up.
That's the Big Ten.
The Big Ten is going to get more juice, baby. That's it. And then you throw in that addition of the Pac-12 teams. That's something, isn't it?
That's
and it's an arms race.
It is, Mike. And this is why, look, we didn't think the ACC was smart for adding SMU.
I mean, they had to do something.
Right.
I don't know if that was the answer, but they had to do something.
But you have to, you just said it, it's an arms race. We have to have enough institutions to survive. And
right.
If we don't add, regardless of whether they're on the West Coast or in the middle of the country, we're going to have a problem. So they decided to do that. But you're right. These numbers for the SEC and certainly for the Big Ten do not look like that for the ACC.
So, you know, the ACC, as you said, they're in the San Francisco market. But, again, does anyone give a – nobody
Cal?
Cares. Nobody cares about Stanford or Cal.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you see how empty those stadiums are. It's not like we always joke around. It means more in SEC country. Meanwhile, speaking of the Georgia Bulldogs and the SEC, needless to say, Carl, if you're going to draft the Bulldogs in the NFL draft, you're going to probably have pretty good results, right?
I agree.
Well, did you see the article Ken Segura had today in the AJC?
No, talking about?
Real quick. This gets us back to the Falcons. He said in Fontenot's four drafts, he goes, he drafted ahead of the Eagles and the Chiefs, obviously playing in the Super Bowl.
Sure.
But he also had a roster with more holes. But as Ken points out, of the players he's drafted, four players started 10-plus games this last season. From the same drafts, the Eagles have 9 guys, Carl, starting from their draft. And the Chiefs have 10. So basically what I'm saying is one of these things is not like the other. But we do know how Howie Roseman loves the Dogs. But the Dogs are playing. And with the exception of N'Kobe Dean's injury, for the most part, they're staying healthy.
Yeah.
And having an impact.
And that was he's playing and guys get hurt. If they had N'Kobe Dean, Mike, I'd even feel better about the Eagles' chances to win this game just because of his sideline ability to cover. But you're right. What that tells us, unfortunately, is that we've gotten a couple of guys right. They've gotten a lot of guys right.
And they've gone bigger brands. You know me. I get it. There's this place for small school players in the NFL. It's well documented. Steve McNair and Jerry Rice. But sometimes you just go with the big dogs, literally and figuratively, and you'll be okay. From the SEC and the ACC.
404-726-0929. And by the way, when you talk about, Mecole Hardman played for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, right? Guys, and we're just talking about in the last few years, and Jordan Davis now, and Keely Ringo, these are all Eagles, right? Who was the kid? Lewis Cine, or I believe it is.
Yeah.
He's playing for the Eagles. Like these are all guys that could get a ring ultimately. And you know, it's one of those things where you say, and I don't think he's with the squad anymore. But the fact is, there have been over the last 3 to 4 years a bunch of dogs that have contributed to the success of the Eagles. And Mike, we said it. You know, we take for granted because they didn't get there last year. But that was a team. You know, they started 10-0.
Right.
And all these guys are playing. It would not surprise me, by the way, depending on how this game goes, is it possible that one of these big interior defensive linemen, maybe Davis or
Jalen Carter,
could they be potentially the guys that change this game?
Like, seriously. I mean, the difference, as you and I were talking last week about how the Eagles had so many more sacks a year ago or 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
And now this year, technically, they don't have as much. But just they look more, to me, to the eye, they look even more athletic than the Ndamukong Suh, Fletcher Cox team. Jordan Davis was a rookie that year. And now you see all these dudes can get after it. You mentioned the linebackers, the secondary, the free agents they brought in. It just seems like it's the better package. But as we talked with Brian McFadden, and I asked this of you earlier in the week, Vic Fangio doesn't do well against the Chiefs. Can he finally figure it out?
Yeah, it's a good question. Real quick, some love for Kirby Smart.
Thanks, Carl.
As we are live here at Twin Peaks. So this was this week, Super Bowl media week. Guys were asked about Kirby. Keely Ringo, one of the greatest coaches I've been around. Nolan Smith, he's a special man. He treats you like no other. I love him. Jordan Davis, I would not be here without him. He's done a lot for us. My point is, Mike, we talk about Kirby and always this, you know, all the other stuff. This is what it's about. Guys love him. And the guys that have played for him and certainly now have gone on to success, to me, this speaks even more than just winning SEC championships. You can talk about all this other stuff that Kirby does. This is why he's the best in the business.
And it's the greatest advertisement for the program.
No doubt.
Even in the NIL world, in this crazy transitory transfer portal world, still, if you want to, like, what did Saban always say? If you come here.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow what the coaches say. You're going to be drafted in the first round.
No,
you go to Alabama,
no
State
doubt.
West Georgia.
And so I just, you know, when you hear these things, I think these words from these guys who are now playing in the big game speaks volumes about the program, but more importantly, what kind of man Kirby Smart is. And
right.
Look, have we been upset about the transparency and all the nonsense that was going on? That, again, some of that was not his fault,
right.
But he is the guy in charge, and so we said, hey, you need to put your foot down. Yes, we have been. But ultimately, Mike, he puts good people in the world, and
right.
That's all that matters.
Well,
he puts productive right. guys in society.
And that was the thing that Coach, you know, we talked to Warwick Dunn, what you said about Bobby Bowden. And Bobby Bowden was always an advocate for your kid going to Tallahassee. He's going to take care of you. He's going to make you, if you were immature, you're going to grow up. So things like that you'd love to see. And sometimes I think in the world of college football, the average fan, I don't give a crap about any of that.
No.
But it does matter. Now, yes, I don't think the average college football fan cares about graduation rates, but when you do talk about what you're talking about, you know, Kirby and what he does in his program, that is the gold standard. Now, the question I have is, how do we restock it this year? I'm curious to see what this offensive line is going to look like. This is a huge spring football for Georgia.
It is.
I know that you've been living – it's 2 years ago they've been back-to-back natties, and they have taken, if we're honest, Carl, a bit of a step back. So how do we get back up there if you're a dog fan? And certainly Kirby's going to be banging the bushes for all those recruits. Still one more transfer portal window, too, by the way.
Yeah, and we'll see if they go in it. By the way, it was National Signing Day. We didn't even talk about this either the other day.
It doesn't even mean anything anymore since they have the early signing.
All the guys that Georgia had, they didn't sign anybody. I think Georgia Tech signed 3 guys, and the good news is Georgia Tech moved into the top 25
of classes. Hey, Brent Key,
yeah,
man.
They signed 3 guys, but we didn't even talk about it because the early signing period. Hey, by the way, there are 8 former Dogs that are headed to New Orleans. 2 of them play for Kansas City. 6 play for the Eagles.
What a concept. Draft a Bulldog. You hear me up there at Flowery Branch?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Hey, man, coming up, we are going to give you our picks, all right? We're doing it a little bit different because it's one game. We've been picking, you know, NFL, college football, over-unders.
And by the way,
year.
Congratulations. You did a great job this year. You won the championship.
Is it over?
Well, I mean, we can't catch you.
Oh.
I mean, I stunk it up. I was on the verge of being knocked out of the whole thing. Chris was started. Chris, you know.
You heated up. He heated up.
You were kind of a roller coaster this year, you know. You were kind of like the Andre Hunter of our picks this year.
Oh, that's a good way to describe him. All right, coming up, game score we'll give you. All right, we're trying to figure out how we're going to do this. So we're all going to do this over, under.
Right. Prop bet.
And then we're going to pick a prop bet. So that gives us 3, which is what we normally do during the season. We'll give you our picks coming up for the big game next. For the picks of the week, we are live at Twin Peaks hanging out. Buckhead location, guys. This hour brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. It is the big game. Super Bowl 59. And so we are doing it just a little bit different because we only have one game to pick. But we will tell you our game score, over-under. And again, game score is going to be who's closest to that. Over-under, all right, meaning the overall total. And then one game prop. And some of these prop bets, again, they're out there for you to check out and look at. But, Mike, there are some ones that you go, okay, I'm intrigued by that. And then there are some ones, you know, for example, who will score first? Who wins the coin toss?
Which is literally for you, I mean, the most degenerate gamble. A lot of guys do bet that in Vegas.
They do.
The guys that make the trip out to Vegas and just bet on everything.
You want
to
know
Might
one,
as well do the coin flip.
One I won on a couple of weeks ago, not the AFC, the divisional round.
Mm-hmm.
Who would kick a field goal first?
Nice. And that's a great bet sometimes.
It is, you know, because I was like, oh, neither. I think it was the Ravens game.
I made money the year when you and I used to joke around. When we got to just absolutely hot garbage in the red zone the last couple of Matt Ryan years, that was a great bet. Falcons first field goal.
First field goal.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. All right. So, yeah, Chiefs score first, Eagles score first. That kind of stuff is out there. And then we can get into the player prop bets as well.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start with back at the studio. Big O, what do you got for us? Game score, over-under, and then give us a prop bet for Super Bowl 59.
All right. I'm going to start with the over-under first. I don't think –
48.5, Big O, right now.
48.5. I have sucked picking over and unders this year. So at this point, it's a crapshoot for me. So
Don't sound so enthused, Orin. This is it. It's your chance to finish gig. It's not how you start. It's how you finish.
Tell him, Mike.
Come on, man.
To be honest with you guys.
You sound like Snuffleupagus right now.
I don't know. I'm not even going to lie to you guys. After the last week that we did it, I'm officially 10 games under. So I'm even blessed to be picking right now. I had no idea I was going to be picking. But, I guess since over is the first listed in over under, give me the over in the game at 48.5, and we'll see if that one hits. Game score, it has to be over 48, so give me 31-27 Chiefs.
Oh.
If it's a close game, I think Kansas City is the winner. If it's a blowout, then I think it's going to be Philadelphia, but I think it's going to be a close game. So give me 31-27 Chiefs.
Okay. All right. That's entertaining.
And
your one prop bet.
My one prop bet. I'm going to steal this from Andy and Randy because this sounds like a very good one. 34 is the longest offensive play. So they have listed as the longest offensive play for the game is 34 yards. So definitely give me the over on that one right there. Yes, the longest offensive play at 34 yards. I want that one over for my prop.
Really? That sounds low. With all these players.
Right.
Okay, so 34 yards. All right, Big O. I hear you, man. Glad you feel good about your picks. We could tell it in your voice. Turtle.
I'm here, man. I'm here.
I hear you.
I don't know. I guess I'll take the over.
Well, how would you feel if you were 10 games under 500?
Yeah.
He was almost there with me.
Hey,
that's true.
Like the Phoenix, man. Rise, like they say in the good book, baby. The last shall be first.
Well, Mike, you know what? Mike locked in whenever he was down right there.
He got serious.
And then all of a sudden the picks started rolling in.
I spent more than 2 minutes on my picks.
He sat falling off boats.
By the way.
God, yeah, the low point was the Tampa Bay jumping off the boat, landing on breaking my ankle on an anchor or whatever I like landed on. And then, like, who is it? And like, who do you like, Mike? I go, Chicago.
Oh, yeah,
like,
when you were gone.
Like, who? What score? What are you talking about?
I forgot about that.
Chicago. Yeah, so that was arguably the low point. All right, Chris.
We remember.
Thank God for the dump button.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Right.
So the reason we're doing game score is because the game has moved notably for the audience to a pick'em.
Yes.
So
it's -1 Philly.
No, it's a pick'em. It's officially
all right, I'm looking at Vegas odds right now.
I got up ESPN bet right
Vegas
now.
Vegas insiders got Chiefs -1.
I got ESPN all bets right. up right now, and they got it as a pick'em.
Okay. All right.
Either way, it is.
And it started at what, 2?
It started at 1.5.
Okay.
Chiefs,
okay.
1.5.
So there's a lot more money now on the Eagles.
Right.
Right? Well, that's what you're telling
me. We were talking off the air about this. At some point, was one house in Vegas going to jump that spread just to get some action?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like move it up to like Kansas City 3 or something. They never did.
No. So kind of like,
there's less action on this game than the last 4 Super Bowls. In Vegas. I was talking to our buddy Nader.
Yeah.
There's less action, at least going into today on Friday. That may change over the weekend. But the houses in Vegas are taking less action on this game than last year or the year before when they played.
I believe it because of the rematch. I'm also going to take 31-28.
Oh,
Kansas
okay.
City.
Okay.
So just a little bit.
And by the way, for people
who
don't speak gambling code, there was less people are betting.
Sure. Sure.
Right. Spell that out.
Yeah. 31-28, Kansas City being the winner. Obviously, I'm also then taking the over.
So you like the Chiefs.
I like the Chiefs and the over. And then here's my prop bet. Did you know the last 2 Chiefs victories, the Gatorade has been the same color? It's been purple.
I did not know that. Oh.
So I think in order to make it a three-peat, they're going to ride with the same color Gatorade.
Ah.
So if you're going to bet the Gatorade, go purple.
Go purple.
Go purple.
Makes sense.
Interesting. Turtle. All right, that's your prop bet, huh? That's your prop bet. That's interesting.
A little inside scoop for you guys.
No doubt. Look, there's always some kind of quirky thing that pops up, and people are like, hey, this is what I'm betting on. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guy Talks on the way. We will talk about the Falcons. We have a new class of folks that are going into the Hall of Fame. We're going to talk about that at 5 o'clock. And a guy that should be that's not, and his stats are very similar. Stay tuned for that story and more on our Hawks. All right, Mike, what do you got?
Hey, man. All right, I'm going to go with – I hate to do this, but I'm going with the Eagles. Nobody wants to hear that. I'm going to go with Philly. I'm going with the over. Over 48.5. I'm going over in a big way. I got it at Philly 34, Kansas City 31.
So that's 65 points. That's way over. Mm. And I'm trusting that Jalen Hurts is not going to suck in this game.
Yeah.
And that Jalen Hurts, my prop bet, I looked at that 31.5 rushing yards. I'm going to go over the one that we were talking about with BMAC. I'm going to go over on Jalen Hurts passing yards. Oh, they set at 211. I'm going to go over. I think he's got to have a big game. I think they try to take Saquon away. And if they don't, and it becomes a laugher, hopefully you'll get the back end cover if he's just throwing garbage yards and it's all passing. But I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts over 211 passing yards.
I like it. Look, the Eagles have everything they need. This is a matchup. You know, fights right. are about styles, right? And I think when they lost a couple of seasons ago, Mike, they said, we're probably going to have to beat these guys at some point if we're going to win a championship here in the next few years. And you think about their drafts and their free agent acquisitions and how they've gone about their business, I think this particular fight favors the Eagles. The problem is we've all seen Patrick Mahomes and his greatness, and so everybody's a little bit afraid to go against that.
Right.
Don't be. The Eagles are built for this. And if I told you, and something that Mike and I talk about all the time about our Falcons, if I told you going into any game, we got a better offensive line, we got a better defensive line, you'd feel pretty good about our chances.
Right.
That is what the Eagles possess. Their secondary is better than it was two seasons ago when these two teams met. And again, their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, is not turning it over. Last turnover, guys, week four. I think everything sets up for them to win. I am taking the Eagles. The game score, though, I'm a little apprehensive, Mike, about being over on this because the defenses are good. Kansas City and Spags, and we're talking about the Eagles. So what gets me under? Is this a 27-24 game? Does that get me under the 40? What is it, 48.5?
48.5. What's your score?
No, that would be 51.
Yeah, you're over.
So then I got to go 24-20. Okay. I think it's going to be that's where I'm at. And it's a struggle at the end, and then somebody wins by three. I'm just giving you that score. We'll see.
More field goals. So over them. What's the over-under on field goals? That's a nice – that's another bet.
That would be a good one. Yeah,
that is. So I'm going Eagles, and then I'm going – obviously, that's my game score. The over-under, obviously, I'm going under. As far as the prop bet, and I keep looking at this stuff, and I'm like, man, Mike, I don't know. Score in the first 5 minutes – who comes out fast? It doesn't matter who wins the coin flip. Do right. they come out in those first 5 or 6 minutes and score? These are the kind of prop bets I've been looking at, and I'm like, I don't know. Do you get a stop, a three and out, and then maybe another three and out, and all of a sudden the first quarter is almost gone?
That's what you're shooting for.
That's what I'm shooting for. Right. So I'm not going to go there. I'm going to look at the quarterback prop bets, and I'm looking at Patrick Mahomes. Did you guys see this? 251.5 yards in this game.
It's a lot.
That is a lot, and I'm going to go under. That is going to be my prop bet. Doesn't mean the Chiefs won't win this game, but if you're telling me Patrick Mahomes, Mike, throws for 251 in this game against this defense, then they probably have had some big explosive plays.
Right.
So I'm going to go with Mahomes. There are a bunch of quarterback bets out there for Jalen Hurts and rushing yards and all this kind of stuff, but that's where I'm going to go. And here's the thing. Remember, he won the last Super Bowl with his legs. He didn't – it wasn't like Mahomes threw for 450 yards against this team 2 years ago.
Right.
So that is my prop bet. That's where I'm at. We will see who's right come on Monday. And we're by the way, we hadn't even mentioned this. Monday we're at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw.
Yes. Yep. So we'll have a big axe in our heads from the hangover. So come down and join us. Sounds like Bloody Marys. Sounds like a good play.
No doubt.
Over there at the Twin Peaks guys in Kennesaw. We'll be talking about this.
All right. So that's where we're at, guys. You can let us know what you think. We'd love to hear where you're at on this game. I just want to be entertained.
Right. We all do.
That's ultimately where I'm at. I do not have a rooting interest, but I do think because I'm picking them, fly, Eagles, fly.
Oh, God. Yeah, man, I hate Philadelphia. I've had nothing but miserable experiences there as a sports fan. And I'm with Carl. I've tried to, like, put the fight in there, but Carl's dragged me over to the dark side to hate on Mahomes, to be sick of the Chiefs.
I'm sick of him.
So I'm betting wishful thinking here, which is the stupidest thing you can do, but I've done it. I think we like the Eagles.
Mike Bell, what do we have coming up?
Hey, man, is Steve Koenig going to be calling in?
He should be.
He's on his way. If not, I'll tell you what I got, Carl. I got a story that's going to blow your freaking mind. As soon as I look it up, next on Dukes of Bell. Live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead.
You have had a day to let it sink in, and we're talking about the Hawks' moves at the trade deadline. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We got to talk to Steve Koenig, Hawks CEO. And, Steve, you know, look, I know you guys are busy yesterday, but we were going crazy. We were up 85 at Buffalo's Cafe when the news came down, and it just kept coming, obviously. So explain to our listeners and Hawks fans, where are we with these trades? Because a lot of people were surprised, certainly about the DeAndre Hunter trade. Bogey moving as well. We get our new pieces, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Tell me where you're at with the moves that were made yesterday.
Obviously, we like the moves that we made, or we wouldn't have made them. We feel like with Hunter that, you know, he's had a great season for us this year. He's had injuries in the past, and we felt that the offer was too good to pass up. George Niang and Caris LeVert are both very good scorers and can give us that long wing length that we're looking for. But don't forget, we got two, you know, pick swaps and second rounders. And in today's NBA, that's very different than the NBA 2 years ago. Having draft picks is a key asset. So we like where we are.
Yeah, I mean, Mike? no sense in crying over spilt milk. I mean, just get somebody in here with that $45 million you guys created, and let's go get a star. We need to get an all-star for Trey. Can we find one?
We're going to look. If you've got a map, send it.
No, I mean, look. I don't blame you for moving on DeAndre.
We've covered
DeAndre. Carl and I went around on it yesterday. It's just, unfortunately, he was disappointing as a top five pick, and you've got to strike while the iron's hot. If there's a value for him, it's never going to be any higher. I understand the logic behind it. Just, you know, with the other moves you made, just can you find that? Can you get Trey? Trey is Batman. Can you find him as Robin, a real Robin? Along with Jalen Johnson staying healthy and the other pieces.
I'm not sure Jalen Johnson's not Robin. I'm not sure Jalen Johnson's not Batman.
Yeah. You're right. But, potential there. Got to stay on the floor, though. Got to stay on the court.
I hear you. And I hear you and don't disagree with you. It's very unfortunate with the season he was having. His stat line, his analytics lined up quite well with what Giannis was able to do and what LeBron was able to do at similar ages. So losing him for 35-plus games is certainly a tough blow. As far as the Bogey piece, we really, really, really like Terrence Mann. He's a very strong wing. I believe he went to a college that you probably spent a lot of time on probation at.
I guess he's a proud Seminole, played for Coach Hamilton.
Absolutely. And we think he's a very good player. And Bogey was great here, but... you know, I think going younger, stronger, faster, I think is a good move for us.
Steve Kuhn, Hawks CEO, joining us after the Hawks make multiple moves yesterday. A lot of people wondering about not moving Clint Capela. Can you give us any insight on that?
I mean, I'm not withholding any kind of information. The market did not bring us something that we felt compelling. There still is, you know, a need for Clint services with the Hawks. We're not calling the season off. We plan to be competitive, and Clint makes us competitive. I do think you've seen how O has responded from starting. I mean, he had 30-plus points the other night, and I think he's played incredibly well. But, again, we weren't giving somebody away for nothing. And value matters, and Clint Capela is a valuable asset.
I mean, you could argue that just like, you know, a different set of circumstances with Al Horford, you just like to feel that an expiring contract that you're going to bring him back next year is just something you move off the books and you try to get something. You talked about draft picks, albeit second rounders, just something for it, because now he's going to walk and you won't get anything for him. That's the argument. Unless teams were scared away from an injury.
Or you can do a sign and trade. You can do a buyout. There still are options. None of us are planning to call the year. So we need Clint Capela, and I'm glad we've got him.
Steve, I don't even know if we have time to do this, but can you elaborate? There's two sides of this question I'm about to ask you. One is, we got a lot of what is Tony Ressler doing yesterday with seeming like his inability to want to spend and make the team better. And then the other side of it is, How much do the new rules in the NBA with these aprons and the salary cap play a role in what we're attempting to do?
So I'll answer these questions in order.
Okay.
I'm being really serious, not trying to joke around like we always do. Who was traded other than Luka that you would have liked to see us get? Who did we not get that you're going to blame the owner not spending money? Tell me, who?
Well, you could have argued, Steve, that we were kind of past all of that. I mean, the moves that should have been made 2 years ago. I mean, we waited too long to move John Collins off the road. Any power forward that was available, they weren't available. You're not going to bring a point guard. There's no reason for a De'Aaron Fox. That would make no sense. Matter of fact, we found out that the Spurs were actually interested for a minute in possibly trying to offer you guys a trade to get Trey down there to San Antonio. But I would like to improve the front court. I thought that, you know, Paul George's name came up, but that's a move you make if you are in the top three. That puts you over the top.
Paul George was not on the – to my knowledge, Paul George was never offered or on the market.
Okay. That was reported by one of those rags that you refer to that cover the NBA.
Right. So that was reported by some pimply-faced guy in his basement. Let's debate it.
So, Steve, you're saying – you're asking
– who should we have traded for?
I'm being very sincere because I love our fans and I get so much positive feedback on here. What didn't we do – that another team did that you wished that we would have done?
Outside of the Luka AD deal.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, 28 other teams would have made the Luka AD deal.
Sure. I mean, but again, you're not going to take – but I'm not going to insult you because we all know we get back to the money argument. Steve, the ownership was not going to take on a Kuzma contract or anybody else. A lot of these guys are big money.
Okay. And I think – I am so passionate about you're wrong on this. Kyle Kuzma, and I can't talk about another player.
Understand.
Right.
Could have easily been had, okay? Easily been had. He's been on the market for a while. He was traded. But the talent evaluators have to believe it makes us better. Where it gives us flexibility. Because now to answer the second part of the question, Phoenix, you literally had the owner of Phoenix calling teams, not a general manager, the owner, trying to get out of the apron prison that Phoenix is locked into. Okay?
Because they're paying Booker, they're paying Durant, and they're paying Beal. Yes.
And they can't trade Beal except they don't trade.
They can't trade anybody, really, because they can't trade draft picks. They can't bundle players. And so you had – I just got the numbers. In fact, the cap – you had six teams move out of the cap yesterday. Move out of the cap because of the punitive nature of team building. So we're in a very different NBA. I don't expect any of our listeners or fans who have read the collective bargaining agreement – I asked for the cliff notes and still haven't received them.
Right.
But we do have wonderful people who do know them. The point is, you can't take the flyers you used to because the punishment is too high. And why is that? Because what does the NBA want? Parity. Look at the NFL that's happening this weekend. I can't get over the amount of negative news and how pissed off people are about the Kansas City Chiefs' success. It's stunning to me.
Right. But, I mean, when we get into, certainly, Mark Williams we talked about yesterday, that'd be a great piece for the Hawks in the front court. Now, I don't know what the ask would have been. We don't want to give Jalen Johnson up. So, I mean, I know you have to give to get. I mean, it kind of becomes
correct.
The circular logic takes you out of what you want to do because, yes, I've got to give something a star to get another star in. I mean, just some of the names are right off the top. I mean, we talked about guys are texting us well, why don't we get in the mix with Jimmy Butler? Well, we know that's never going to happen. We're not going to even entertain that. But what about Brandon Ingram? I know he's often injured, but that was a guy that I think Brandon Ingram helps the Hawks. It's be a nice fit. Again, the caveat, if he can stay healthy.
Mike, here's what I will say. I think you're actually right on that one. You can figure out what that means from there.
Okay. All right, so there was if you're listening, Steve cannot, as an executive, talk specifically, so read between the lines.
I thought.
No, yeah.
I put this out there, and we talked about Ingram, that he might be the piece that might help us. because I'm looking for younger, athletic guys that are growing into their own, not old aging pieces for me. Right. And I've explained that to our listeners. Those are the guys you want. But Ingram, and I said this the other day.
But you also have to look that his contract was expiring.
True. And that means he has
to turn around and give him a contract.
Yeah, he wants to, if he wants to stay. But for me, once I saw Ingram's deal, I'm not doing that. I'm not giving up what Toronto gave up to get Ingram. That was me, and I put that out there. So if you're telling us in a roundabout way that there were conversations about Ingram,
right. Okay.
I'm willing to accept that, but for Hawks fans, like it's not always cut and dry, and that's the part that I think you're saying. It's not always we want this guy, he wants to come, and we're going to trade for him. It's got to fit, man. And like as much as I think Ingram is a hell of an offensive player, Mike, I thought the Toronto Raptors gave up way too much for a guy that may not even be there next season.
Right, but he's the kind of player
that there's
an archetype. That's a nice piece for us.
Yes, go ahead, Steve.
And we agree, and I totally agree. Unfortunately, they don't grow on trees, or I'd build an orchard. You know? I've been a fan a hell of a lot longer than I've been an executive. And what I've learned is, again, the player you just mentioned might have been a good fit. Carl wouldn't pay what the asking price is. Why not? Why not, Carl?
Oh, he's been injured the last 3 years.
Can't say healthy.
He's only played 30 games in the last three seasons, or he's missed 30 games, should I say, when you talk about the last 3 years. That's not a guy that's helping you consistently on the floor. That's a concern.
Right. Now, Steve, in the offseason.
And an expiring contract.
Right. But if you guys, I mean, right now you got a $45 million marker in the minds of the fans. If you could make that Julius Randle or Chris Middleton, then we'll be excited about it. If that's what this turns into, then we can joke around about, hey, Black Thursday wasn't all that black. You know, I mean, we turned this into something positive.
Well, I understand, and we can debate whether, you know, any of the names that you've mentioned make sense for the team. And, again, I don't think they're that young, dynamic wing that Carl's talking about. And if the NBA, if you're monitoring the call, Carl is talking about, not Steve.
Yes, correct. No, and these are names Mike and I have talked about. Steve, right. I know we're up against it here, but I got to ask you this before we go. Steve Kuhn, Hawks CEO, Hawks making moves. They're in action tonight, by the way. Milwaukee's in town. New pieces are here. We'll see what that looks like. And then they play tomorrow on the road as this transition starts. Trae Young, should our fan base expect anything coming from Trae Young with the moves that have been made? A lot of fans are afraid that he may not feel like this is what he wants. I don't know how much you can go into that, but I have to ask you about it. And do you feel like there will be any of that? Because fans feel that way. Like there's something that's going to either come out or that Trae may not be. Can you expand on that at all?
I can't expand on something he hasn't done.
Okay.
He hasn't said a word of negativity.
Okay.
Right. You know, so I don't know how to, answer that question.
Look, he hasn't. And to Mike and I's credit, he's been very mature about this whole ordeal and the way that it's played out.
He hasn't played the diva card. No. He's been mature. He's a team leader. We've talked about it, Steve. My fear is, and again, you can make fun of me for saying this, my fear is at some point if we don't get traction in free agency or in team building in the offseason, eventually, and it's happened with Myles Garrett in Cleveland, it happens all around. Guys want to go where they can win. And if a guy perceives he can't win there, eventually he'll try to force his way out.
Noted.
Steve Kuhn, thank you. Good luck with the new pieces.
One of my least favorite days of the year. The
day after. Hey, we get it. But trust us, we were getting this yesterday, and we were like, Kuhn's coming on tomorrow. Hold on.
So we're trying to be as transparent as possible. But people have to understand, you know, first of all, we always throw out these brand names, you know. Right. A lot of these guys weren't brand names earlier in their career. A lot of players are traded. There's an arc of performance. A lot of players are traded, not that they're going into their zenith, but on a different part of their journey. And some players...
Good.
Some players just really haven't had the chance because there might have been somebody in front of them who was really, really good and on a new team, new beginnings. So I think it's incredibly complex. And like I said, I've been a fan a hell of a lot longer than I've been an executive and agree and feel everything and have said much, much worse. But the complexity of managing talent in the new NBA is something that takes a lot of skill, and I think our guys did a really good job because we had goals and objectives and what we wanted to do, and we hit them.
All right, here's one last question for you, Steve. We'll let you go. No more pummeling Steve here. Steve Cooter from the Hawks CEO.
I've got one more.
If Jalen Johnson doesn't get hurt, do we move DeAndre Hunter if Jalen Johnson doesn't get hurt? Because where he's playing right now at $25 million a year is, you know, is pretty good value.
Hard to answer that at hypotheticals. Very hard to answer that at hypotheticals. You know, I mean, time will tell. Did we sell high or did we, you know?
Oh, you sold,
I mean, hard to tell. Hard to tell. But a very good question.
No, it is.
Who gave it to you to ask?
I knew it. I knew he could be snarky.
Three weeks. 3 weeks ago, this thing looked totally different, right, man. I'm just saying.
We were in high cotton 3 weeks ago.
Flying high from Boston. This is fun. This is easy. Can't wait to get on with my boys. Maybe I'll show up in person. I'm in a foxhole covered in burlap bags outside.
Right. Have a good weekend. Thank you again. And we'll continue to have our conversations. What's that?
Beautiful. I just wanted to thank the fans. I love their passion. Nothing makes me happier. I'll sit here and argue all day long with somebody who cares. So thank you.
Well, they do care. Trust us. Steve, thanks so much. Beautiful. Have a great weekend.
Take care. Bye.
All right. That's Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO. We're up against it. We're going to come back. We'll address some of this. Mike has a very interesting comparison that you need to hear.
Thank you.
As we have a new Hall of Fame class that's going in. They were announced last night at NFL Honors. Also, we're going to talk more about the big game. Stay there. If you think anything about what Steve Coonan had to say, hit us up. Text us, tweet us, whatever. We want to know what you thought about his comments in regards to those trades. It's Dukes and Bell.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.